PSI in the world. I'm John Batchelor. Going nuclear on Rosatom. A new report from Anthony Ruggiero of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, an adjunct senior fellow, testifying to Congress this week, ending global dependence on Putin's nuclear energy sector. The Russians use the term Rosatom, like Roscosmos, Rosatom. And their operation is significant worldwide, has been for many decades. Anthony, a very good evening to you. Thank you for this. I want to go immediately to the presenting matter, which is more than money, although following the money is often wise. It includes Russia's entanglement with allies and adversaries of the United States, especially during this time of two wars in Eurasia. The first troubling detail I learned from you, because I knew that we were using Rosatom, we've talked about it before, is this relationship, cooperation, treaty, arrangement, contract between Rosatom and China to fuel and enhance two reactors in a place called Qipao and another reactor in Changbao. Is this a new development that China and Russia are working together like this? Good evening to you.
Good evening. Thanks for having me. You know, I think the interesting part of this is the Defense Department linking this relationship directly to China's expanding nuclear weapons arsenal. And, you know, what we saw is that the Assistant Secretary for Space Policy, Assistant Secretary of Defense, testified before Congress on this particular issue, highlighted that this cooperation involves helping China produce plutonium for nuclear weapons. And their ultimate goal is building 1,500 nuclear weapons by 2035. And the Department of Defense was so worried about this that they pulled that out of his testimony and published it as a separate press release to highlight the concerns that the department has about this cooperation between Russia and China.
What is a sodium-cooled fast breeder nuclear reactor? Because they're building two of them.
Right. I mean, what the Defense Department has talked about is that this is, you know, these activities are for building plutonium for their weapons, for China's weapons program. And so, you know, I think the concern here is that this is not a circumstance where Rosatom and Russia is working with China on a civilian nuclear reactor program. This is for their weapons program. And you have, you know, a company and a country that in Russia that, as you noted, the U.S. and our allies are still spending money, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars to these companies. So at some level, we don't have a choice right now because of the lack of alternative suppliers. But, you know, we're essentially paying the company to help the Chinese build the nuclear weapons that are going to target America and our allies.
Rosatom is not only to supply the fuel for this fast breeder reactor, and there's another one near Taiwan. It's also helping them build it. Is this a money-making operation from Russia? Do secondary sanctions enter into this conversation?
Well, this was the whole focus of the hearing this week was, you know, what do we do about this? Because it's not a simple solution. And because of our current reliance, you know, it's one thing for all of us to say, you know, we should end our reliance, but on Rosatom and Russia's nuclear sector, but we're not going to do that tomorrow. It's going to take a period of time in order to do that. And so, you know, yes, sanctions plays a role, but it's going to have to be, we're going to have to be more, unique in how we apply those sanctions, because it's not a simple, okay, let's just put, you know, Rosatom on the treasury list and then walk away and implement those. So there's going to take some effort here and some cooperation amongst allies to get it done.
The Chinese, according to this testimony you gave to Congress, claim that this is civilian activity, civilian nuclear power, despite the fact that it's a fast breeder reactor. Does that work?
Yeah, I mean, I, in this instance, I'm trusting the Department of Defense when they say that, you know, in their very good, you know, 2023 report on China's military activities. We also know from other efforts, right? You know, whether it's on the semiconductors or other parts of the China issue, that there's very little lines between civilian and military in China. But in this instance, when you're making plutonium, this is the purpose is for nuclear weapons. The Chinese can say all they want that it's civilian, but it's not.
This is in parallel to the buildup of the Chinese ability to launch nuclear weapons in their silos in the Northwest and other delivery platforms. So, of course, they're going to need fast breeder reactors. All right. That's one provocation that needs to be addressed. Let's turn to Ukraine. Zaporizhia, the largest nuclear power complex in Europe. 6 containment vessels. 1, I believe, is still operating to maintain electricity to the others to keep the water from melting down, from evaporating and exposing danger to everyone. However, your report highlights the facts of the matter that Russia took over this complex in 22 and has been abusing the staff, torturing the staff, intimidating the area, deceiving the IAEA, and maintaining its patrol with weapons on the plant ever since. And now there's news that Russia wants to restart the plant, which sounds to me perilous. Does it connect to Rosatom as well?
It does. I mean, Rosatom is there. The engineers are there, helping the Russian occupation in terms of operating the reactor. There were some reports of Russian military using Rosatom patches on their uniform as they were trying to intimidate staff. You know, again, this is one of those circumstances where the theory of the case here, several years ago, a decade ago, was we can work with Russia. We can work with Rosatom. We can work with them on the civil nuclear side. And now we have them, as we just discussed, helping the Chinese expand their nuclear weapons program. And now we have them in a potential nuclear disaster. You know, at some level, we have to ask ourselves, why are we still spending this money with Rosatom? It's at the first point that we can stop spending that money on with them. We should, because they have no regard for the safety of Ukraine and other countries. You know, it's not like a nuclear disaster will respect borders. You know, any kind of disaster has the potential to implicate other border countries around Ukraine as well.
You wrote the White House about these incidents and this matter with your colleagues, Ord Khitri and Andrea Stricker. What is the response from the White House or from the Atomic Energy Agency, the international one, the IAEA? Have they responded in any fashion to these reports of torture, abuse, and danger?
Right. That was back in fall 2022. And, you know, the good thing about that letter was that it was a bipartisan group of non-proliferation experts. And, the IAEA did visit the facility and is still there on the ground. But as you noted, you know, the Russians have not relinquished their control, even though that facility is still a Ukrainian facility and should be returned to them, immediately. And so, I think the White House understands and is focused on it. But, obviously the war itself is the main priority for the administration.
Now, that was the easy part, the adversaries. Okay, Rosatom and China, Rosatom and conquered Ukraine, Rosatom and expanding the ability of China to manufacture plutonium. Now we come to what you'd have to say is a shadowy part of the story, the allies' relationship with Rosatom. There's a list that keeps changing. The one that I'm keen on is France, but there's also Hungary. France, however, is a strong ally of NATO and the EU, and President Macron is outspoken. Your opinion of the French explanation for using Rosatom, do they not have an alternative source? They have much more dependence on nuclear energy than the United States or any of their allies in Europe.
Right. You know, in fairness, we both the U.S. and our allies have ourselves to blame here. We believed, in the Obama administration when the U.S. was putting its own civil nuclear cooperation agreement with Russia together. We believe that there was a new, we were on the cusp of a new dawn with Russia, right? And part of that was going to be civilian nuclear cooperation and working. You know, in my testimony, you can, you know, if your audience is interested, you can go back and I cite the Obama administration's press release on the agreement. And when you go back and read that, you're sort of shocked, you know, working with Russia, basically working with Rosatom and other nuclear companies. I can't, you know, they essentially, Rosatom and Russia, have eaten our lunch. They've decimated the U.S. industry, our allied industry. You know, the alternative suppliers, unfortunately, are not there. It's getting better. We're moving in the right direction. And this is part of the reason why we need to send a signal to the industry that this is not appropriate. But, you know, Rosatom and Russia were smart, and they saw an opportunity and they seized it. And so now we've got to try and reverse that tide.
Framatome, which is the French, is still with an agreement with Rosatom, if I follow your testimony correctly. And the supervisory board chairman is not looking in any fashion to move his business from Rosatom. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I think in some instances there are some good news stories, right? Some countries who have reactors that use Russian based fuel are finding alternatives, and you know there are other companies that are trying to get into that, like U.S. Westinghouse and others. But you know there are still some companies that are not yet. But, you know, I think the reaction on this issue has mostly been bipartisan. So I do think that the tide is changing. The real question I have is, are we going to sustain this? Because it's going to be a multi-year effort to do that. This is not a simple fix. And, you know, sometimes we don't do so well in the medium-term issues. We tend to focus on them and then forget about them. So hopefully we do better on these.
Before we go to what is to be done, one more. United States, Canada, France, Japan, and United Kingdom. I had mentioned France before buying from Rosatom, but what is the Sapporo 5? What is it to achieve?
Right. It's this consortium of countries that that declared that, you know, they're going to invest, I believe it's $4.2 billion in seeking these alternative avenues for the nuclear industry. It's an admirable goal, but certainly my hope that they wind up doing it. You know, this might be a public-private partnership type of process. You know, the other thing to highlight before we move to the what can we do is, you know, we have to also make sure that China doesn't backfill here too, because they're enrichment and other, you know, they want to get more into the reactor building business. So it would be it would not help us on the foreign policy and national security side if we, you know, finally end our reliance on Rosatom only to have the Chinese come in and backfill that. And so we have to make sure that we don't, you know, make a second mistake while fixing our first mistake.
I'm speaking with the adjunct senior fellow of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, Anthony Ruggiero, whose testimony to Congress, very helpful to organize what is to be done. Going nuclear on Rosatom. Rosatom is the Russian nuclear energy business for ore and for building and for technical assistance and for supervision and for theft in Ukraine. The subtitle, Ending Global Dependence on Putin's Nuclear Energy Sector. When we come back, what is to be done? This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bash.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.